Now it's time for our Saturday Night Theater. We present Dead Treasure by Frederick Bradnam with Anna Comrich as Susan.
I suppose I ought to tell my story, because it's funny strange and pretty awful in parts, and because I'm now 16 and the story took place when I was 14 and I must go on remembering it. Must. It starts with my parents, Robert and Gwen Threadgold, owners of Threadgold Antiques at a south coast town. People thought they were all right, if a bit pushy. They were at the shop all hours, leaving me in the care of my father's mother, Grandma Mona, who also looked after the house, a stone's throw from the shop.
Susan! Susan, are you there?
Here I am, Grandma.
Where's the bag?
Bag?
Do I have to think of everything? Haven't I enough to do with this house to run? Enough? That lot of help you are.
Sorry. I'll fetch the bag. Oh, what's in it, Gran? It weighs a ton.
It's something your father wants, and don't ask questions.
Does he expect me to cart it all the way to the shop?
Now, what do you think? No, he said, take a taxi.
I'd like to see their faces if I turned up in one.
Are you going?
Just about. Oh, I can't think why he didn't take it with him.
He rang to say he'd forgotten it.
So as to get me to the rotten shop on a Saturday.
Maybe aye, maybe no.
Is he waiting for it?
Of course he is.
Good.
You'll never learn.
Perhaps I will, perhaps I won't.
It's in your own head then.
It always is, isn't it? And on my legs, or on my arms. No longer on my behind, because... never mind. And sometimes on my face. The face is sure.
Now, just keep that to yourself. I don't want to know.
No one does. I'm going then.
Thank you, Preacher.
Yes, it was a most interesting address.
Thank you, Gwen. And you, Robert. What did you think of it, Susan?
It was all right.
Susan, really? Only all right.
I'm sure Susan doesn't stay to flatter, as the saying goes.
Oh, we've always told her to give praise sparingly and only when it's due. And to be honest in our views above all things, as our church teaches. That's right, isn't it, Susan, love?
Yes, Dad. I thought, though...
Morning, Peter.
Morning. Oh, good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Simmons. You thought what, Susan?
About knowing right from wrong you spoke of. You said that we always know which is which. Aren't you being a bit optimistic?
Well, we Methodists are an optimistic lot, Susan. We like to believe the best of our fellow creatures... But I meant we must always stop and consult our hearts about a difficult course of action. You see, we don't always consciously know the right way from the wrong way, although it's in our hearts waiting to show itself.
Yes, I know, but there isn't always time, is there?
Of course there is, darling. Your father and I work hard, don't we?
Oh, yes, you never stop.
Well, that's not true, but never mind. The point is, whatever the pressures, we always stop and consult our hearts on difficult decisions.
If we didn't, we'd be in all sorts of trouble, believe me, Sue Love. That's why you must learn to do the same. The earlier you learn, the better.
Yes, indeed. Learn early to consult the heart. It'll stand you in good stead.
I'll try. I suppose it helps in business.
We must be away. Others are waiting for a word with the preacher.
Thank you. Oh, I'll try to meet the woman's circle on Wednesday.
Oh, good.
Come along, Susan, darling.
And don't look so worried, Susan. Nothing's as difficult as it sometimes seems.
I like Sunday.
Of course, I don't have to go to church twice like some of you. I hate Sunday. I hate all days. I hate God.
Well, that's no good, Susan Threadgold. For my parents say they don't think there is a God. So there's nothing to love or hate. Except people.
People? You're lucky, Jackie. Your mother and father are human.
Poor old Sue. Do Robert and Gwen work on Sunday between church?
Nearly always. They muck around with what Robert calls the treasure of the dead. I think they've actually got an export order to get ready this afternoon. It probably goes out by dead of night tonight.
My dad was saying the other day that your shop sends a lot of stuff overseas.
All the time.
And he said that no questions were asked once the antiques were abroad.
No questions about what, Jackie?
Don't know. saw you yesterday going to the shop with a big bag.
He forgot it, so he said.
He weighed a ton. What was it, old iron?
It was a head filled with lead.
A head? A real one, bullet-ridden?
No, you idiot, a silver head. They fill them with lead sometimes. He forgot it on purpose, so I had to go to the beastly shop. And once I was there, they made me help, of course. Stuck in that basement, polishing a cabinet. It was ever so valuable.
As if I cared. Poor old Sue. Where did the silver head come from?
She said it was Peruvian. Ugly thing it was. Somebody turned up with it at the house, late the night before last. There was a lot of confabbing, then whoever it was cleared off, very quietly. It's always happening these days.
The summer holidays will soon be with us.
Pass over the wine, Gwen.
Save me some.
Are you thinking of going to Spain this summer, Rob?
That depends, ma'am.
This lamb is mutton. It should be Mona. It's tough enough.
Well, if you will go to that butcher.
He's one of us, and a very good butcher, ma'am. You probably overcooked it.
Of course. It's my fault. It's bound to be. I forgot.
Have you had enough, Susan?
Yes. Thanks.
We've let the Spanish house until October, haven't we, Robert?
We have.
I can't think why you bought it. When did you last use it? For a whole week, over a year ago.
I told you, Ma, it's an investment, and we'll let it.
I wondered if you bought it to retire to, early.
Did that man and woman from London rent it?
Which man and woman are you talking about, Susan?
The old man with the young woman. He said he had to go abroad for his health.
Milo! He probably did.
That's the man, Susan. He and his wife have taken it until the end of October.
His wife, eh? I suppose the girl with him was his daughter.
Take no notice of Grandma, Susan. Milo is a perfectly ordinary man in poor health and with a young wife.
I'm not daft, Mummy.
What do you mean by that?
He's not ordinary, is he? I mean, he's shifty and untruthful.
Untruthful? Why do you say that?
The way he spoke about his health, I suppose. And if the girl is his wife, who was the old girl he spoke of who's in Ireland?
She was his mother, of course.
Sorry, but I thought he looked like a villain.
From out the mouths of babes.
Will you, Ma? Milo has a bad heart, Susan. And your mother and I do not mix with villains, as you call them.
Would you like a pinch of salt to go with that, Rob?
Do you know what the time is, Susan?
Yes, Dad. 6:30.
Aren't school finished at 4, as usual, I take it?
Some of us stayed behind.
For 2 hours?
No.
So where have you been?
Nowhere much.
And where is that?
I didn't expect you to be here.
I'm sure you didn't. Are you going to tell me where you were?
We went to a cafe.
Oh, did we? And who are we?
Some of us.
Don't play the insolent beside me. Who are you in the cafe with?
2 or 3 other girls and...
And 2 or 3 boys?
I'm 14, not 4.
I still do what you're told. To come straight home. You'll only meet those boys your mother and I think you should meet with us.
You shouldn't hit me anymore. It's not right.
Oh, isn't it? I shall do as I like in that direction, Susan, until you learn not to cheat and not to ignore our instructions.
What have I done wrong? Other girls are allowed to do things
like having babies at 14. Like taking drugs at 14. You won't.
I might.
Susan, my patience is coming to an end.
That's what Hitler said.
You're going into the cellar of my girl. You've not been sitting there for a little while now.
You're hurting me. I'll go there myself.
Right. And you'll stay there until you feel less insolent.
Bloody dark hole. How just like them to call the old coal hole a cellar room. It's a wonder they don't let it to someone. I have a whacking great bruise on my face tomorrow, so they'll keep me from school until it's gone.
Almost. One day, Robert Threadgold, and you, Gwen Threadgold, I'll clear off and never see either of you again. Until I come back and do something nasty to you. I will. I will. I should consult my heart, of course, to see if what I'm planning is right or wrong. Like he does when he hits me, and she does when she tells him to hit me. Consult my heart, then. Right or wrong to hate them? Right. It's always cold in here. I'm sort of airless. At least Moaning Mona's put a bit of carpet on the floor. If I told them at school that I was often hit and shut up in a cellar, they'd say I was telling whopping big lies and pull the other leg. Only I'd be ashamed of saying outright anything. Such nice people, the Threadgolds, and how well they bring Susan up. How I hate them. Me out, you pig, Robert. But I'll not shout. Never. Never.
Good afternoon, Miss French.
Good afternoon, Jackie. Susan? Susan?
Yes, Miss French?
Stay behind for a moment, would you?
Yes, Miss French.
See you tomorrow, Sue.
Susan? What has happened to your work?
I don't know, Miss French. I can't concentrate.
Well, that's obvious. Is there anything the matter?
Not really. It's my parents. They're always getting at me.
What do you mean? Be more specific, Susan.
They're so keen for me to do well.
Well, so they should be. I wish all parents were.
Yes, but they're very strict. I don't have much freedom.
Well, some parents are strict, as you put it. As for your freedom, that's up to them.
Yes, I know it is, but sometimes it's sort of difficult.
Well, I think this is something you must talk to them about. Can you?
It's not easy. They're always busy.
Would you like me to drop them a note?
No, no, thank you. I'll try to talk to them.
Listen, Susan, girls like you are lucky, you know. Your parents are able to afford to educate you here. Comfortable homes, good food, holidays abroad, most of the things you want. Some of you are, in fact, plain spoiled.
I'm not. Sometimes my parents are nasty to me.
Oh, I doubt that. Round the corner from this school, there are a good many really poor families. You may have seen them. Their children are what are called latchkey kids. Mum and Dad out all day, so they live on fish and chips and chips and crisps and chocolate messes. Some of them get knocked about by their parents as a matter of course. Hit on the head, slapped on the legs. It's a family tradition, passed on by family after family. Be thankful you're not one of them.
I'm not much better off.
Oh, if you think that, then I must tell you to stop fantasizing. Do you understand me? I mean, being full of an absurd self-pity.
Yes, Miss French. I see.
Well, I hope you do. We break up for the summer holidays in a week's time. You won't get a good report, I'm afraid. During this holiday, do try to get things in perspective. Shake yourself out of your self-pity. Try thinking how lucky you are.
Jackie, bring Susan in if you like.
Yes, Mummy. Come in, Sue. Good afternoon, Mrs. Benson. Dr. Benson.
Hello, Susan. Nice to see you.
That's what I said, Dad, because I haven't seen her for days and days.
Sorry. You see, I'm always helping at the shop, learning about the business and all that.
Is that your idea, Susan?
Well, not really, Mrs. Benson. They think I should, though.
You look as if you've had a black eye there, Susan.
Yes, I banged it against the tall boy in the shop.
And what did the tall boy say?
Did you get a good end of term report, Susan?
No, terrible.
Mine was very good, wasn't it, Dad?
It was. I can't think how, since you're obviously adult and pretty awful into the bargain.
Oh, that, Sue, is my father's idea of a joke. He hasn't much of a sense of humour, the poor man.
No GP can afford a sense of humour, daughter. If he had one, he'd die of laughter in no time.
What did your parents say to your report?
They sent me to Coventry for a few days.
No wonder you aren't happy at home.
Is that true, Susan?
Sometimes I'm not.
Like when you're sent to Coventry?
Not that so much. I didn't mind that much.
But you don't like it when you bang into the furniture.
No, not much.
I seem to remember that you had a swelling in your cheekbone earlier in the year. What did you bump into then?
I don't know. I can't remember. I'm awfully clumsy.
Are you? I don't think you are. Rather the opposite, in fact.
Downstairs under the shop, it's absolutely crammed with things, and it's terribly easy to knock into something.
Susan, if you bruise yourself badly again, let me have a look at you at once. I am supposed to be your doctor, you know, as well as your friend.
Thank you, Dr. Benson. Sorry to be a nuisance.
Are you going away during your holiday?
I don't know. No one said anything.
Well, we're leaving our holiday until the winter, then going to the French Alps. So if you want to pop in here any time, do.
All right. I'm coming. Oh, it's you, Susan.
Hello.
I'd known I'd put my makeup on. And I've still got my hair in curlers.
You are an idiot, Dan. Are my mother and father here?
No, I saw them drive away from the side entrance 10 minutes ago.
They told me to be here by 10. I ran here to make it.
You should be lolling on the beach, not working in that bargain basement.
Do you know when they'll be back?
Do I know? Don't be silly, Susan. I never know where they've gone or when they'll return. All I am is the happy, laughing, pretty face who runs the shop and is always ready to oblige.
Do be serious, Dan. They should let you know when they go out.
And they ought to do many things, my dear. But you know Robert and Gwen, laws to themselves.
Mm.
There have been times, Susan, when I thought they were miles away. And then they've suddenly popped up from their Aladdin's cave. Like the genie of the flaming lamp itself.
If they go out by the side door, I mean go up in the lift and leave that way, they could just as well come in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Or say they may be there now, downstairs.
They could be. But the door to the basement's locked and I haven't a key. I'm not allowed to know what they get up to down there or what beautiful things they've got stashed away. It's all very secret, my dear.
I polish and clean things for them. Furniture.
I don't want to know about the bargain basement, thank you. Actually, I'm sure they're still out, because when they arrive, I can see the car sneaking out of the side road from the window.
What about if they're on foot?
And they rush past in disguise. What do you think?
I think they're mystery people. I wonder why.
Do you? You'll find out one day, I'm sure. And when you do, do come and tell Dan Smith all about it, please.
They know a lot about everything they trade in. I have to listen to lectures on furniture, silverware, ceramics, old masters, or, you know, paintings.
Yes, dear. I didn't think they were ancient schoolmasters.
And sooner or later, they'll tell me about faking things. I shouldn't wonder.
Never let them hear you using that word beginning with F. If they hear you using the second word, they'll be cross, but the first one, my dear, they'll go berserk.
Well, they're usually cross, so going berserk wouldn't be all that difficult for them. Anyway, I'll ask them to give me a key to the basement door. Well, then I can be like those kids Miss French calls latchkey kids.
Mm-hmm.
They let themselves in to watch the telly while Dad's at the Social Security and Mum's out on the game.
Oh, they heard you using such phrases. They'd also go mad.
And vicious.
Vicious? Oh, yes, I might have guessed. It's the mixture that's to blame, dear. Narrow-minded religion and unprincipled trading. Makes me shudder.
I hadn't thought of it like that.
I think I've gone too far. I really shouldn't be talking to you like this. I really shouldn't. So be a nice girl and forget it.
I hate my parents, Dan. Yes, I do. I mean it. And I have good reason to. So you can say what you like about them to me, so long as it's nasty.
They are horrid to you, I know. I've heard them. I can guess the rest, as I've said. But you're such a pretty girl and well-mannered. I wonder why they go on at you.
One day, perhaps I'll be able to explain. Not now, though. It would make things too complicated.
How very wise you are. I'll keep my own counsel, too.
Oh, thank you for listening, Dan.
Not at all, dear, not at all. But I do wish they'd turn up. I've already had to send that most unpleasant customs and excise gentleman away once.
Customs and excise deal with the exports, don't they?
They do. That's the real business, dear, as you'll find out. This shop's a sort of front. I mean, the amount of trade I do here wouldn't keep you in school knickers.
So the customs man has to approve of what is sent overseas?
That's what he's supposed to do. But of course, it does help if he's a good friend of the firm and has expensive tastes in cars and ladies.
It gets murkier and murkier, honestly.
Honestly? Oh, that's the byword, my dear. You see, if you export all sorts of lovely things from all sorts of funny sources, mm-hmm. it does to have a few helpful officials on your side. Oh, here is your parents' car, just turning to the side street.
Here's the key, Susan. Don't lose it.
I'll try not to.
Why do you always set out to get on my wrong side?
Yes.
Sorry, I was trying to be funny.
If that's your idea of humor, Susan, you'd best keep quiet.
When you're down here alone, shut the door behind you, like you would the front door.
Yes, Dad. What about the side door, the one the lift goes to?
What about it?
Can I use it, I mean?
Not unless you go up with the stuff going out, and that's unlikely. No, you can get on with cleaning that table, the one you began yesterday.
And, Susan, you don't have to use so much of the cream. A little, and rub hard, that's all.
What kind of table is this?
Well, a 19th century card table. This heavy piece of junk came with it.
That looks like a kitchen table.
Ah, tis more or less. Servants' hall to eat off. It's got draw leaves and is late 19th, I guess.
Did you have to pay a lot for them?
That will be telling. I'll sell the table you're supposed to be cleaning for $1,000, for luck. There's another piece of junk. I'll have taken away and burnt.
Hmm. It's not junk, you know, Robert.
Hmm?
It's solid oak. Look.
I thought it was elm. But you're right.
It's got two draw leaves. Frame the legs, inlay the sides and leaves. Add some carving on the barred legs. And what would you have?
You could have a late 16th century oak draw leaf table on vase legs.
Mm.
What would it be worth when you've changed it?
I have no idea.
We don't speak of things being changed, Susan. Reproduction is the word.
A French billionaire Choisy has a castle to furnish in the Dordogne, I'm told. He's looking for heavy 16th century stuff. We need a pedigree, though.
Mm. I'll fix that, don't worry. Will you get your new chap onto it?
Yeah. But one has to see him. He doesn't like the phone.
Isn't he a bit below par?
Subnormal, but for his dexterity. He hasn't a clue as to what's up, which is useful.
Mm, good. I want him to look at that Noah's Ark.
A Noah's Ark?
I forgot that that was there.
The more she knows, the better, probably. They say loyalty is a powerful ally. It's a Victorian toy made as an ark. They're quite rare. Where is it?
I put it in the strong room.
Where's that? The strong room?
Oh, don't be so nosy.
I should better know.
I'm not sure.
Come here, Susan.
Right. Yes?
Turn round and look at the wall behind you.
I'm looking.
You see the three plates fixed on the wall?
Yes. Chinese, are they?
Spoon Chinese motif. Now, remove the third plate from the left.
Now what?
See the hook it was on? Lift it, upwards.
Oh, that's neat. You'd never notice it was on a flap.
Do you know what's beneath it? What you're looking at?
Yes, it's a combination lock. I've seen them in place. Safes have them.
Right. We have a combination in our heads. Nowhere else. It's not written down. One day we'll put it into your head. But not yet. This isn't a safe, though. Now, pull it towards you. Go on, pull.
Oh, it's a door. It's like Aladdin's cave. It really is.
It's the strong room where we keep the really valuable things. The door, like the wall, is 2 feet 6 thick, solid steel. The room is built back into the chalk and granite.
big enough to live in.
It's 10 feet square. A Jap farm built it for us. When the door shuts, the light goes out. It will be light, which would give the game away. Because if you looked carefully, it might show through the hairline cracks where the door fits.
Except for the Japs who built it, only Robert and myself, and now you, know of its existence.
No one else? Not even Grandma Mona?
Oh, the last person. Only us three. It's a secret you will keep to yourself. Not a word, not a hint to anyone. Got it?
Got it.
You can be sure we'll get to know if you blab, Susan. And then, God help you.
I'll not say a word in any way, I swear.
This town is a thief's kitchen, remember. That's why we have this room. No. Gwen will get her toy out of store, and then I'll show you how to shut it up.
Let me get that.
It's absolutely simple. Should no doubt she'll be able to do it.
Here it is. Noah's Ark, worth £100.
No. All you have to do is push it shut. So. The lock clicks. So. Now, it can't be opened without knowing the combination. Oh. Put the flap down and the plate back. No trace, is there?
No, nothing. Nothing.
Hello, Susan. By yourself?
Oh, I'm exhausted.
Where's my daughter?
She heard Dr. Benson's car pull up in the garage.
Damn, he could have given me a lift. It's getting really hot for once. I've been looking for glass bells. Do you think I'm mad?
No. They're 19th century in coloured glass with fancy glass handles.
That's them. Do you have any in your shop? I never got to you.
We've some downstairs. Waiting for export, I suppose.
My mother collects them as her birthday's coming up.
I'll ask Gwen if I can find her in a reasonable temper.
I wonder why she's usually in a rotten temper.
I think it's because she's always after something she can't find, can't grab. And she thinks people like me get in her way.
Poor Gwen. How awful for her.
It's so nice being here. So friendly. Sort of full of love. Makes me want to cry, actually.
Oh.
Oh, I could have given you a lift, Roz. Hello, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
What about some tea, Jackie? You look exhausted, Roz.
I went glass bell hunting, minus success, but Gwen may have some.
Oh, yes.
I put the kettle on earlier.
Oh, good.
Sue and I will get tea.
Oh, yes. I'll help you. You two poor old things, put your feet up and take it easy.
I take it you went to the beach, Jackie.
We did. But only not a word to Sue's parents, Mummy, unless to say that you were with us.
Lucky I didn't get to your shop.
Yes, I'm not allowed on the beach unless Mona or one of them, or an adult they approve of, is with me. They think she might get lost. I think they think she's still 4, not 14. They never go near the beach. But they say it's full of undesirable characters, whatever that means.
For I've always thought it was a very well-behaved beach. Anyway, at least you've had half a day out of the shop, Susan.
I wouldn't mind so much if I was in the shop. Down is fun. But I'm all the time in the basement. They only let me out today because there's some clients coming. Or so they said. It's out of bounds, even to Dan. He's almost ready. Just let the pot draw. It's not fair on Sue, is it?
Are you interested in the business, Susan?
No. Well, I've tried to be. It's sort of ghoulish. Do you see? Everything is old. And if it's not all that old, well, they make it older. Some of the things are lovely, I know. But they're not like living things. They're like dead treasure. They smell old. The smell of the past. A sort of dead smell. Well, nothing's there because it's beautiful. It's only there for buying and selling. As Dan says, it doesn't really matter if it's useful or useless, pretty or ugly, real or phony, so long as it's bought and sold. I'll pour the tea.
Not living in the past so much as living off it.
No, Jim, they certainly don't live in the past.
And the talk is always about money. As if everybody's out to swindle everybody else. Never trust a soul, Robert says. Is not what he pretends in church.
Church is for hypocrites.
Now shut up, Jackie. Your father, Susan, calls the things he sells treasures, I remember. Of course, it wasn't always treasure, I told him. Once it was fairly ordinary, useful stuff, which, when it went out of fashion, was put away in attics and outhouses if it wasn't destroyed. I don't think he saw my point.
No, he wouldn't. He refuses to see what's under his nose, unless it's to do with the shop.
And your mother, does she see things under her nose the same?
I never really talk to her, unless I have to. What I don't understand is, do they love each other?
Why do you ask that?
Did they ever love each other? Why? Well, because they never show it. Well, I mean, they never say anything nice to each other unless there's someone outside me and Gran to hear them.
Well, sometimes married people do that. Jim and I do it the other way. We bicker in public.
Well, at home or in the shop, they're always watching each other, sort of distrustfully. She goes them on because he's weaker than her. They're not kind to each other, you know.
It's probably their married way, Susan.
I wish it wasn't. Poor old Sue. I wish I knew what to do next.
What to do next?
Nothing. But wait until I'm a few years older.
And what then?
I'll go away from here, make my own life. By then, they won't be able to stop me. I'm planning to stay at home until they kick me out. You're lucky, Jackie. You don't know how lucky, here in this house. It's so peaceful. Sorry. I hate my parents. Does that shock you?
Hate's a strong word, but it comes as no surprise.
You see, there's been too much bumping into the furniture for us to be surprised.
I'm trying to keep clear of that, Dr. Benson.
When you decide to go to the shop this afternoon, Susan, you'd better take this magazine with you.
Hmm?
Rob left it behind.
Yes, Grandma. What is it?
You can read, can't you?
I was reading the newspaper. You might have noticed. The Dealer's Guide and News. Yes, he'll probably want it.
I can't think what you find so interesting in the paper at your age.
I try to find out what's going on in the world. Nobody in this house seems to know. Or care, come to that.
Oh, the world's bad enough without someone to read about it.
What did they vote? Mum and Dad, Gran?
Oh, they didn't tell me. But I can guess.
I bet they were sorry there wasn't a junta leader to vote for.
They voted for the next best thing. And you mind your tongue, young lady.
And you mind yours, Grandma Mona. Oh, I wish I was going to the beach, said Susan. But her wicked fairy grandmother only cackled.
Appointment at the hairdresser's, and you've got one in the shop.
Oh, there's some lovely illustrations in this mag.
And I have to leave in 10 minutes, and so have you.
Oh. Oh.
Why are you looking like that? Here, let me see. Is it these three paintings? Now, why did they surprise you?
Did you think it was a naked man?
The thought did cross my mind. What are these? The three Bertram paintings of three rooms with a black page boy in the foreground of each, which were stolen recently from the Russell collection. They measure only 8 inches by 6 and were bought by the Russell collection 20 years ago for 30,000...
Oh, I know about Bertram. He was a Dutch master of the 17th century.
Oh, was he? Have you seen these paintings before somewhere?
Three just like them. Well, they must be reproductions.
Aye, the real ones will be worth a lot more than 30,000 today. Even in a buyer's market, as they say. Now, if I were you, Susan, I forget I ever saw those paintings.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Forbes, Miss Crosby, but that's Susan at the door.
Ah, good.
Hello, Dan. Are my parents downstairs?
They were 10 minutes ago. These two members of the force are with them.
The force?
Police persons, dear. Don't look so guilty. This is W.D.C. Crosby,
hello,
and
sir.
This is D.S. Forbes.
How do you do?
Hello, Susan. So this is the girl that Mum and Dad dote on.
Mr. Forbes and Miss Crosby are the eyes and ears of the force, Susan, when it comes to knit antiques.
Oh, yes. Your father was singing your praises just now. He says you're learning fast.
Yes, I'm doing my best to. Do you trace stolen things?
Well, that's what we try to do, Susan, yes.
Oh, so you must know something about all antiques and pictures.
Well, we have to know as much as any dealer, Susan, at least.
This town is full of thieves nicking valuables and antiques of every type, which then change hands for a few quid, and sometimes land up in quite reputable shops. This one excluded.
So keep your eyes open, Susan.
Oh, yes. Of course I will.
And if a girl turns up at school next term and tries to flog you an old master cheap, well, let us know. Well, we must be off. Be good, Dan. Nice meeting you, Susan.
Bye, Susan. See you again sometime.
Bye.
Toodle pip, both.
Yes, and the same to you, Dan.
A couple of bent pizzas there, my dear.
Bent? How do you know?
Never you mind, but I have my sources. I think the Demon Queen's waiting for you down below.
I'm in here, Susan, the strong room. I want you to give me a hand.
I brought along the dealer's guide, which Dad left behind.
He probably meant to.
Grandma gave it to me. I met those two police persons in the shop.
Police persons? God help us.
What did they want?
I've no idea. Your father spoke to them.
Has Dad gone out?
No, he's hiding in a wardrobe. Come in, come on.
A bit claustrophobic.
Oh, don't let's have any of your neurotic nonsense, please.
Right.
Hold the ladder while I go to the top shelf. Why are you interested in those paintings?
No reason, except they're unusual. They've got the same black boy in each.
Hold the damn ladder still, will you?
Sorry. What are they, 18th century?
They're copies of a Dutch master, 17th century.
They look the real thing.
That's the idea, but they're not. Here. Take this writing case from me.
Okay,
keep hold of the damn ladder, will you? Don't shake it.
I wasn't. I only had one hand.
I wonder I didn't fall off. No thanks to you. Give me the case. Did you notice how clean it is? No dust, even.
Oh, yes. Why's that?
And once the door is shut, nothing gets in. No dust, no air.
No air?
The things don't tarnish or rot with damp. Now you can go back to cleaning that medicine chest. And be careful, it's early 19th century and worth quite a bit.
You actually saw them, Sue? All three of them?
All three. You can't mistake them. A parlour in each and a sad-looking black boy dressed as a page boy in each. She said they were copies. But really, Jackie, she must think I'm stupid if she thinks I'll believe that. They were the paintings.
It's getting hot. I'm going in for a bathe soon.
There go a couple of undesirables hand in hand.
Is that they keep the paintings hidden away?
Yes, they're in a separate room, which is usually locked.
It's pretty awful, isn't it? It's really dishonest.
Something's up at the shop. That's why I was told to clear off. They're frantically getting things together. For export, I suppose. Yesterday, a couple of detectives were hanging around.
Mm.
I didn't take to them, and Dan says they're bent.
Well, could your parents have got the paintings without knowing they were stolen?
Not a chance. The news is all over the magazine. I bet it's been in the newspapers. Hey, they're stolen, all right. I think that they deal in stolen stuff all the time, Jackie.
Well, that's why they're so secretive.
Perhaps we ought to tell someone. I could ring up the police with a funny voice, disguised, you know, and say that Threadgold Antiques had three stolen paintings. Who painted them?
Bertham, a 17th century Dutch master. You're not serious, are you, Jackie?
Of course not. Here, those two chaps are eyeing us.
I know. They're a bit old, aren't they? They must be about 22.
I have some information about three stolen paintings.
Oh, yes.
They were in a paper.
Who is this speaking,
please? No names. This is an anonymous call.
Are you a girl?
Well, yes, of course I'm a girl. But this is a serious matter. Just listen to me. They are by a Dutch painter called... Beecham, or a name like that.
I hope you're not wasting my time.
No, don't ring off. They are with Threadgold Antiques in their basement.
Threadgold. Oh, you mean the shop thing?
Yes, at 9 Ship Lane, East Brightley. Goodbye.
I hope you're not asleep, Susan.
No, Dad. I was, though.
Your mother and I want a word with you, Susan.
We certainly do.
What have I done now?
Don't you know?
I was asleep. It's 11:20. No, I don't know.
You do, you little cow.
Don't you hit me, Mother.
Leave it to me, Gwen. Sit still, Susan. Keep awake.
Go on.
I will. You had a look at the dealer's guide, the one you brought into the shop, didn't you?
I looked at some of it, yes.
And you saw the photographs of the stolen paintings, didn't you?
The three Dutch ones, yes.
And you thought you recognized them in the strong room.
I saw them earlier, actually, before I saw the photos, when you brought them down into the basement. And then I saw them yesterday in the strong room.
They aren't them. They are copies.
If you say.
Are you calling us liars?
I don't believe they're copies. It isn't likely, is it?
That makes us liars, doesn't it?
Perhaps you believe they're copies when they're not.
That makes us fools and dupes, if not liars.
We all make mistakes.
I made one when I gave birth to you.
Anyway, you think we're handling stolen property, right?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. It's something I'd rather not think about.
You thought about it. Enough to phone the police. And speaking in what you thought was a disguised voice, told them that we had the three stolen paintings.
Oh, no, no, it wasn't me.
Lying little cow, it was you. Who else? We've heard the tape. The police use recording machines, you know.
It wasn't me.
If it wasn't you, who was it? Who did you tell?
I'm not telling you.
Who was it you told?
You'll break my arm like that.
Yes, I know.
Help, help, Grandma.
So, who was it you told, Susan?
You're a filthy pig and a bully. All you can do is hit girls half your size.
You'll get some more if you don't answer our question. Who did you tell?
It should be whom, not who. You cut me with your ring. You bitch. You bitch.
Perhaps that'll teach you to keep your full language to yourself.
Pig, pig. I'm not telling you anything. Nothing.
If I can guess who or whom you told, the Benson girl, right?
I'll tell all the Bensons in future. They're on my side. I'll tell them everything. You've got all sorts of crooks on your side so you can make lots of foul money and not get caught. And use me like a slave, like cheap labor.
That's enough. Enough.
Leave me alone. I hate you. I hate you both.
Check your other arm, Gwen.
We look into our hearts, preacher. We know right from wrong, preacher. You're wicked, wicked. You deserve to go to hell. And you will.
You'll spend the night in the cellar to cool off.
I wish I was dead. I'd rather be dead than with you two. My arm, my arm. They'll pull them out.
I'd like to pull your tongue out.
Strap a leg, Gwen.
Oh, I wish I was never born. Let me go. Oh, I cut my back.
For God's sake, Rob. You'll have a muddle in your hand.
Go back to bed, Ma.
Tell people, Grandma. Oh, my God, what can I do?
You can go back to bed. Go on, clear
out. I'm going into the cellar room, Ma, whether you like it or not.
She'll spend the night in there till she's left sense.
Sense? She'll catch her death of cold.
Help my dying now. Tell them that. Tell everyone.
Shut up. Shut up, you dumb little slut. Shut up. Now you'll stay there until we let you out in the morning, Susan.
So you'd better think about things.
Your mother and I work in a tough business where dog eats dog. Are you listening to me, Susan? You'd better listen for your own good, Susan. Business is dog eats dog these days. We live in a tough world when it's shove and push, fight every inch of the way. There's only so much success and money to be shared, Susan. We want more than our share. So we have to try and get it, by foul means or fair. Sometimes we skirt the edge of the law. I don't mind admitting it. And so does everyone else. I can't hear what you're saying, Susan. I'm sure you're full of self-pity, Susan. But listen, there's another thing to remember. If you knew the vast sums of money being made in the city of London today,
are people from the best schools and the richest families, who ignore the law when it suits them and cheat and swindle quite legitimately. Then, Susan, you'd look upon us as very small fry. You perhaps understand how we feel.
Are you listening to us, Susan? I'll tell you this. We want you to see the world for what it is, not have fancy dreams about it. See it as a jungle full of predators. See it as a place you have to fight your way through. That's why we have been stricter than most parents. So you see the world as it is. We've done it for your own good, Susan.
You've abused me, and you've used me. I hate you, like you hate me.
That's wicked. Wicked to say we hate you. We may seem harsh at times, but it's for your own good.
One day, when you face this jungle and find it a place where only what you have to show counts, then you'll see why we try to help you in our own way.
You're just a cruel pig.
Why are you so wrong-minded? Why can't you try to see things our way?
I did it my way.
You can sing all night then, Susan. Perhaps you'll come to your senses by the morning. But if not... Come on, Gwen.
An hour must have gone. God, it's always so dark in here. And cold. The cellar room. The old coal hole. Still got the coal on its walls. Do some physical jerks to keep warm. Press-ups. One. Two. Three. Four. Five. Ooh. Oh. Perhaps I should make myself very strong. Take up bodybuilding, like some women are beginning to. Get strong enough to break his arm. That's an idea. So when he says, "Come here, Susan," and goes to grab me, I push him on one side and down he goes, and I kick him where it hurts most. Oh, I wish I could. And you wait until I see you, Jackie. I didn't have the first notion you meant to ring the police. Poor old thing. She didn't know how the coppers are so hand in glove with Mr. and Mrs. Pig. But you brought things to a head. And they'll never be the same again. I ought to run away. But where would I go? I'd probably have to become a teenage prostitute. And I don't think I'm cut out for that. During the last Easter holes, I ran away to London. For a day, less. I got to Victoria Station, and an awful so-called clergyman tried to get me to go to his place for homeless girls. Oh, he was revolting. Had a face like a blancmange. I lost my nerve and took the next train home. And they didn't know a thing. They were at the shop all day, of course. And Mona was too frightened of them to let on that I'd been absent all day. She didn't ask me where. More physical jerks. Leg and head raise. Right. One. Two. Three. Four. Five. Oh, the air gets stale in here. I'll be covered in bruises, back, behind, legs, being bumped down the stairs, cut over the eye, cut on the lip, upper. Oh, they'll leave me alone for a few days, as usual, until I've healed up a bit. Don't like to see their handiwork. Once I can, though, I'll go to see Dr. Benson and tell him the lot. He won't be surprised that I've knocked into the furniture again. Oh, I'll probably die of hypothermia in here, though, before... What? Who? Grandma Mona, you!
I know where they keep the key. Come on out now, quickly.
Oh, can't be quick. I'm stiff with cold. And bruises.
I know. Oh. Tuck it up again, Gran.
They'll go mad in the morning.
They were mad tonight. Crazy. Come on. They'll go up and find a hot drink in the kitchen. They'll kill you if they go on like this.
I could have caught pneumonia in there. Listen. Dad. Coming down.
He might. Wait. Keep still, Susan. He's sleepwalking. Sometimes he stands in the landing. And then he goes back.
Sleepwalking? I didn't know.
No, they keep it to themselves. But I've seen him. She collects him as he wakens her. Huh? Ah, he's likely going into your room.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not there. Why did he sleepwalk? Did he always grow?
No, not as a boy. I think it's worry. And a guilty conscience. Do you wonder if he'll finish up body at this rate?
He's come out.
That'll wait and go in.
God, what a pet you are. Come on, back you come.
Oh, she's foul-tempered as usual.
Ah, good. Up to the kitchen, my girl.
What are you going to do, Gran?
I can't take it anymore, Susan. I'll have to leave. After this, they'll give me hell, too.
Wait and see, Gran. Only don't be frightened of them. I'm not anymore.
Here we are. Sit down. And I'll make you some chocolate. Put that old shawl round you.
Thanks, Gran.
I'm not frightened now. I just think they're crazy, I suppose. What did you do, Susan?
Nothing. I'll tell you about it sometime. I hate them, you know, Gran. And I'll go on hating them until I clear off.
I can't think why Rob's become like this. He wasn't cruel and nasty as a wee boy. I think she's hard and cruel by nature, though. And they say they live in a hard and cruel world. They never stop going on about it.
They're hard and cruel, so they make the world like they are. Ah! That cut she gave me hurts. She did it with her diamond ring. So it should be an expensive cut.
Oh, I'll clean it up in a minute. They'll leave you alone now for a few days to let you recover. You know, Susan, I think they're ashamed in a way. And cowards.
Seven. Van's not due until 8:30. Have you finished, Gwen?
Yes. We should have things loaded before the shop's open. Mm. I'll be glad to see the back of one or two things, Robert.
One or two? So shall I. By the way, it's day three.
Yes, I know. I was thinking. What next?
She can get up and come and help us before.
At least get her away from Mona. They're becoming as thick as thieves.
So I've noticed. We have to change our tactics, Gwen. On both.
You're both up bright and early this morning. You get your own breakfast, I see.
When Susan wakes up, tell her to come to the shop, ma'am.
Oh, she's been about it, Gwen, dear.
We'd better be off, Robert, before I lose my temper.
For a change.
Get Susan out of bed, ma, and to the shop. That's an order.
Have a nice day.
We shall have to have a talk, ma. Come on, Gwen.
It would happen. The bloody battery's as flat as a pancake.
My fault. She's due for service, I forgot. Useless. Let's walk. We've time. I'll phone the garage later. Well, at least it's a fine morning.
There's our friend Jim Benson at his door. Going off on his rounds.
Oh, I see. Don't stop.
Good morning, Robert. Gwen, you're earlier than usual.
The car battery's flat. We've an early start to make.
How's young Susan?
She's fine, thanks.
Got over her cold, then?
Oh, yes, yeah, she's all right now.
No, I thought it would only be a cold, not the flu. Grandma Myrna exaggerated. Told Jackie Susan couldn't be seen because she had the flu.
Oh, I can't think why Myrna thought it was serious. It wasn't.
I'd like to give her a check-up sometime. Girls of her age often go through a rough time, you know. Get her to ring for an appointment, will you?
Right. We must hurry. See you soon.
Right you are. See you.
Bye. Nosy devil. What do we do about him?
Forget the Aunt Susan for the moment. We could send her and Mona our way. Your sister's always extending invitations. Mm.
We need to have things out with both of them first.
I intend to. Don't worry. I shall remain master in my own house.
Do you think Benson suspects anything?
No. If it does, we'll change doctors. I shall be glad when today's over.
Why did they go so early, Gran?
They were talking about an export job last night. There's a van coming from Germany.
I bet those three pictures are going.
Aye. They were all on edge this morning, and the car wouldn't start, so they had to walk.
Oh, the poor things. I'll call in later at the shop.
Mm. Let's have a look at you. Oh, you're very pale. That cut still shows. So does that bruise there.
So do the ones on my bum and legs.
Oh, dear.
That phone call just now was Mrs. Benson, ringing to say Dr. Benson wants to see me in his surgery at 12.
I told Jackie you had the flu.
So I gather. Dr. Benson spoke to my dear parents when they were walking to the shop this morning.
Oh?
And they didn't seem to know much about my illness. Surprise, surprise. Mm. He told them that he wanted to see me, but he wasn't sure if they took it in.
I expect they were both conveniently there.
Yeah. I'll tell Dr. Benson about everything, Gran.
Yes.
He knows anyway. I'll confirm it. Show him the evidence.
Mm.
I don't care about who knows anymore. All I want is for those two to get their comeuppance.
You know, Susan, the more I think about it, the more I begin to wonder if they're sane. Sane people don't behave the way they do. They know it's wrong, and they know it's against the law. Sane people would realize they couldn't get away with it forever.
They're not really sane, Gran, that's true.
No.
They just don't see the way some things are. And they don't see me as a person. I'm a sort of chattel to be knocked about when they feel like it.
But not any longer, thank God.
No. It's all going to be different from now on.
Well, it's nice to see you again, Susan.
Thank you, Dan. It's nice to see you.
Well, aren't we being polite? Where have you been? Somewhere exciting.
Of course, although it was a bit rough.
So I see. It's a nasty mess on your face. And a cut over the eye.
Mm.
I suppose the other girl had something hard in her glove.
A diamond, Dan.
Ooh.
A large one. Are they in the basement?
Don't ask me. They've been here since sunrise, I do know that. The van left about 10 minutes ago. German number plates, my dear.
Mm.
Let's hope they've gone with it. I haven't seen their car leave anyway.
Well, they left it at the house. It's got a flat battery. I've got my key, so I'll go down below to see if they're there.
Mm, do give them my love, won't you?
Yes.
Telephone, I'll answer it. Red Golds? This is Daniel Smith speaking. What? Do your hair? Madam, that would be a disaster. Yes, disaster. Now, I am not a hairdresser. This is Thread Gold Antiques. Whom do you want? Thread Golds. Well, there must suddenly be two of us. No, we are antiques. Oh, don't be rude. We are not old persons of a funny disposition. We are antique articles of furniture and furnishing and old masters. School teachers to you. Can I interest you in a commode used by King William for £600? And the same to you. What a rude woman.
Well, Susan? Susan, you look very dreamy and happy. Wake up, Susan.
Hello, Dan. Oh, I was in a real daydream. They're not there, Dan. No sign of them.
So away you go and enjoy yourself. Can I give you a loan from the till?
Oh, no thanks, Dan. If they come in, tell them I've gone out, will you?
And in a daydream, too.
Oh, it's you, Sue. Do come in.
Thank you, Jackie. How are you?
I feel awful, Sue.
Then you should see a doctor.
No, it's no joke. I bet they found out that I phoned the police.
They thought it was me. That's why I had the flu.
Yes, I guessed. I'm sorry. I went sort of mad and put some muslin over my mouth and told the police.
They didn't do a thing except tell Robert and Gwen. Oh. Anyway, as Grandma Mona says, the boil has been lanced. You did me a good turn, Jackie.
Oh, Sue, I thought you'd never forgive me.
Silly. Now, I'd better go and see your father and spill the beans.
Yes, he's waiting for you. Are you all right now? You've got a cut and a bruise.
Oh, I'm fine. I did have a strange daydream today, though. I suddenly found myself with Dan in the shop and couldn't for the moment remember how I'd got there.
Can you tell me about Susan, too?
If I can find where to begin.
So it's true?
Oh, only too true. The child is covered in bruises and lacerations, old and new. And Gwen cut her eye with her ring.
Oh.
They also lock her up.
In her room?
They used to cane her. Now they hit her instead and twist her arms. No, not in her room. In what they call the cellar room.
What?
The old coal hole, in fact.
Oh.
Pitch dark, cold as charity. No furniture. A bit of carpet on the stone floor, which Mona has put down recently. And there she's left. For hours at times.
Oh, when did this start?
When she was about 10. After the last au pair went.
It's terrible. All that time and 5 doors away.
Mm. Decent church-going middle-class people don't do such things.
How often, I wonder. And Mona, did she connive with them?
She turned a blind eye, until this last episode. Then she released Sue from the coal hole, where she'd been put for the night, believe it or not. Oh. Mona, now it seems, is standing up to them, and for Susan.
Why now?
Well, Mona says because she was sure Sue would catch a death of cold if left in the coal hole all night. Well, then I reckon she saw that Susan was fighting back, which she certainly is, and so found her own courage.
Well, she would have caught her death, do you think?
She may well have been pretty near doing so. Well, now she seems as well as a girl can be. Except that she said she suffered a short loss of memory today. Went into a daydream, she puts it, and couldn't think how she was standing in the shop with Dan. Well, forgot the immediate action.
Don't we all do that sometimes?
Well, that's what I told her. And she only forgot for a moment. She went into the basement to find it empty, her parents not there, and that probably triggered things off.
Mm.
Finding that she didn't have to face them, when she was probably dreading it, unconsciously anyway.
Well, so would I. Well, what next?
See the thread goals. In the next few days, once I can arrange for Natasha Smith of the NSPCC to come with me, if she'll take the case on.
Oh, she must. Oh, do persuade her.
Oh, I will. I need her support, believe me. Now, let me tell you about the stolen treasures and Jackie's part in all this. How are you today, Susan?
I'm fine, Dr. Benson.
Yes, you look it. This is Natasha Smith. I rang and spoke to your grandmother about her.
Oh, yes. Gran told me. How do you do, Mrs. Smith?
I prefer to be called Natasha, Susan, if you don't mind. There's often another Smith in the case.
Well, there is. Down at the shop is a Smith.
And your parents? Well, I've left messages for them here and at the shop. I take it they'll be here soon.
I don't know, Dr. Benson.
Well, they've not spoken to you about my coming here, do you mean?
No. You see, they've not been here. Not been home.
Are they away on business?
They might be, but no one knows. Dan's been trying to find out without any success.
Well, who saw them last, Susan?
You did, Dr. Benson, I think. That morning 2 days ago when they were walking to the shop because the car wouldn't start.
They went to the shop, did they?
They must have. But early, you see, before Dan arrived, when I went downstairs into the basement, they weren't there.
And Dan never saw them after the van left?
No, he never saw them at all. He's not allowed in the basement, hasn't a key. I have. Robert didn't phone the garage about the car we've discovered, and no one's seen them. Poor Grandma Mona's worried sick.
Well, they've not done anything like this before, have they, Susan?
No, never. Well, they hardly ever leave the town, you know that.
I suppose they had some idea that you were likely to see Dr. Benson.
Yes, they may have guessed, since Dr. Benson asked them to make an appointment for me. Well, they may have been watching somehow, so they've gone into hiding, lying low, hoping it will all blow over.
Well, they could have panicked, but if I know them, if they've gone to ground, it's likely to be with a purpose.
What sort of purpose, though?
Search me, Susan.
I can think of one. You told me they had a Spanish villa, Doctor.
Well, that's right.
I was let to a crook called Milo, a friend. I got into trouble for suggesting that he was a villain.
Oh. If they're in Spain, then they've a base, a home to take Susan to.
Oh.
We wouldn't have a chance of getting you back.
Do you mean they'd send somebody to fetch me?
Oh, yes, it has been known. You ought to stay anywhere but here.
Oh.
Well, she'd better come to us. We'll put a guard on her.
For the moment, that'll be better than staying here. But she mustn't walk the street or be alone in the house.
Well, of course. I'll go and organise things. Fill up the house with young men. Well, I think, Susan, that Natasha would like a word with you by yourself. Oh. If you agree.
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
Well, I'm sorry to disturb you, Dr. Benson, but I thought you would like to know...
Well, yes, I would. What is it?
I got through to Spain at last.
Oh, good.
That villain Milo answered. Mm-hmm. Well, he's very shifty, but I asked to speak to Gwen and Robert, just as if they were there. Yes. He seemed to think I was buried, to think they were with him. He said he hasn't seen them since he was last in this house. I would say he was telling the truth, for once.
Thanks, Mona.
They could be on their way, I suppose. Gran, I'm going to stay with Dr. Benson.
Oh.
Or just in case something is being planned.
Well, I was just on my way to tell you about it, Mona.
Do you mean that Rob and Gwen might be up to some trick?
Well, that's it. Well, I'll tell you outside, so we leave Susan and Natasha to have a chat. See you later, Susan.
Bye.
Shall we sit down, Susan?
Yes. What will you say to my parents, Natasha?
Confront them with the evidence, medical and otherwise. Tell them that we intend to prosecute.
You won't ask them to explain?
No. They may well try, most parents do, with a mixture of threats, hurt innocence, and severe indignation. Your parents will have more words at their disposal than most. Some of our clients can hardly speak an understandable English. And I don't mean they're not white, and English by birth they are, and illiterate. But I don't argue.
And while all that's going on, I mean prosecuting them, can I stay at the Bensons?
Yes, and we may make you a ward of court in the Bensons' custody.
Oh.
But we'll face that one when we come to it.
I'll be happy there. Jackie's my best friend, and her parents are human.
What about your feelings towards your parents? Can you describe them?
Oh, yes. I hate them.
You don't feel any compassion for them? Or sorry for them in any way?
No, why should I? I absolutely hate them, and I never want to see them again.
Well, that's clear enough. A nice change for me, also.
But do kids who've been treated like I have go on liking their parents?
Yes. You have every right to look surprised. They say they do, quite often. I'm not talking about the very young now, but those from about 10 and up.
Hmm.
They've often formed a bond with their abusers, mostly out of fear and deprivation and having nobody else to love.
Mm.
After all, they've probably been told to love their mum and dad. So they do.
I don't remember mine telling me to love them or saying that they loved me. Love was for God, I think. They spoke of obedience and respect by me. For them.
Mm. Was there no sentimental stuff?
Not when we were alone, never. The main topics were how I was doing at school and how they were doing at the shop.
Your parents sound like examples of the meritocracy, if such people still exist. Your case is quite out of the ordinary, you know, Susan. The vast majority of cases we handle are poor, deprived and backward families.
Well, don't you think that there are others like me?
I'm sure there are, hidden away in the woodwork until they grow old enough to clear off.
Well, I was going to do that as soon as I could. Before this last bashing, I thought I could stick it out. But this last time, they became so mad that I got frightened they might kill me. Well, not on purpose, but because they seemed in such a terrible rage.
Yes, children are killed because of terrible rages. Have you any idea why your parents are so cruel to you?
Well, I've thought about that quite a lot. I think they find me a nuisance. I get in the way of their lifestyle, making money, that is, because I won't absolutely go along with their ideas, and because I ask questions, Don't take their rules as being the only rules.
You thought there were things you were supposed to do or not to do, which were unreasonable?
Well, quite a bit, the older I got. Do you know that I'm not allowed to speak to a boy they haven't approved of? So there are two boys in the whole of this town I can speak to. Well, not go out with, not that I'd want to, but sit in a room and talk to. One is fat and stupid, the other's pimply, thinks he's clever, and is a little prig.
Oh, how awful. Poor Susan.
Well, that's what Jackie Benson says. Poor Susan. Only she adds an old.
When you were small, you had nannies, then au pairs, I gather.
Oh, yes, they were always coming and going. I don't think I really knew that I had a mum and dad until I was about six or so. They were just two people who took me around to church and places and showed me to other people.
Were they kind to you then? Can you remember?
Well, they never hit me anyway. What I remember is how short-tempered they were. I got to believe that all grown-ups had to be like that. It wasn't until I was allowed to visit Jackie and saw her parents weren't always in a fury that I realised how odd mine were.
Can I ask you about the beatings?
Yes, I don't mind.
Dr. Benson said you told him they began when you were about 10.
Right, as Robert says. The last au pair left and Grandma Mona arrived. Poor old Gran wasn't up to looking after me and the house. I gave her a really hard time. Oh, I liked her, but I knew how to get my own way.
And that's when your parents had to take a hand, look after you a bit?
That was the time. I remember Robert saying that the trouble with being 10 was that I had begun to have a mind of my own. He obviously found this an awful nuisance, and unexpected, too. I think they both thought of me as a little replica of them in every way.
Yes, parents do believe that sometimes.
It's not very intelligent of them, is it?
Some are as thick as two planks. But yours aren't, are they?
Somehow, though, they couldn't cope with me. If I answered back, you know, said, why do I, or I don't think that's fair, they didn't seem to be able to explain or argue with me. They whacked me with a cane, and if I became hysterical, they'd chuck me in the coal hole until I promised to be good. Then we'd start all over again.
Kiss and make up?
Nothing like that. I think they felt they'd won and I'd lost.
They're cripples, Susan. Cripples.
Probably. I came to see them as terrible, cruel monsters. The sort of scary creatures in horror films that come from outer space.
Is your father a big man?
6 foot 2 and 16 stone. She's no midget either. About 5'7" and solidly built. Until last year, roughly, I lived in fear of them. It was like a pain. Well, then slowly I lost my fear. I don't really know why.
I think one can grow out of fearing a thing.
Yes, I see. I did anyway. And began to fight back. Which made them mad.
One last question, Susan.
Yeah?
A difficult one, this. Were you ever sexually interfered with?
Not unless being beaten on my bare bottom is the same.
God, they are monsters.
So you do believe me?
Yes, absolutely. Why? Did you think I might not?
Oh, no, but it's been one of my nightmares. I go round saying, look at my bruises and cuts, and I'm covered in them, and no one believes me. They take no notice, you know, turn their backs on me.
You poor darling. It's remarkable that you're so sane, sensible.
I don't want to see them again, though. I don't know how I'd behave if they suddenly turned up now. I'd probably freak out or attack them or have a fit of giggles.
I'll do my best to keep them clear of you. That is, when they decide to turn up.
The post just come, Sue. There's a letter for Miss S.M. Threadgold.
Thanks, Jackie.
What on earth does the N stand for?
I'll give you three guesses.
Mabel, that would suit you.
Mona, of course. After Grandma Mona.
Obvious, my dear Watson. The letter looks awfully official, Sue.
It's from the solicitors. I'd better show it to Roz.
She's in the kitchen. Come on. They haven't turned up, have they?
No, nothing like that.
Mummy, Sue's had a letter from the solicitors.
Has she? Do you want me to hear it, Susan?
Yes, please.
It's from Think, Swat and Raindorp.
They sound like a punk band.
You should see Mr. Swat. What do they have to say, Susan? Dear Miss Threadgold, it is now over a year, 14 months to be precise, since your parents, Robert and Gwen, were officially listed as missing persons.
Oh, is it as long as that?
It is. I was thinking that last night.
Grandma Mona went back to her own place 6 months ago. I know, because I remember helping her lock up the house.
I sometimes go and look at it, all shut up, just to remind myself that it wasn't a bad dream.
Well, what about the letter?
Oh, you'd better read it, Roz. But what it more or less says is that the business can now be wound up. The assets on the premises at Nine Ship Lane have to be calculated.
Oh, yes, they're sending an assessor. They want you to be there with one of us, if you like. And would you let Mr. Dan Smith know? Next Tuesday. Well, it's the beginning of putting your affairs in order.
Will everything belong to you, Sue? So it seems, when I come of age. Unless they come to life.
Their wills left everything to the other one, so once they are officially judged as deceased, as the lawyers put it, Susan, as next of kin, inherits.
I suppose they are dead and gone. Do you really think so, Mummy?
Well, we've been over it so many times in the past. What else can we believe? Well, look, they never got to the Spanish villa. Interpol has found no trace of them. No one's reported seeing them in the UK since the morning when Jim spoke to them. The German van hasn't been traced. Well, it probably had phony number plates. And although they left their passports behind, the police found they had false ones, as Richard and Geraldine Thompson, probably in their possession. Then there was the illegit stuff going on beneath the legitimate shop, which, as the police said, meant they were mixing with some ruthless types.
The chief inspector said that persons do vanish without trace among the criminal classes. Oh, can you see their faces being placed among the criminal classes?
I can. Well, now and again, a body does turn up, I gather.
Usually they're buried in concrete.
Talking of the criminal classes, Sue, I forgot to tell you, Milo has done a bunk owing rent.
Well, at least we can now all go there.
True. Now, will you meet the assessor by yourself, or shall I come too?
No, I'll go alone. Dan will be there. Next Tuesday. I'll write it down.
The assessor's name is Cope. And Mr. W. Cope.
This is what Dan and I call the bargain basement, Mr. Cope.
It looks like it. Oh, what isn't in it?
It's strange seeing it again. Well, you see, I haven't been down here since that day when I came to look for it.
I know. Oh, the objet is antique. And the old junk. Just look at it. And to think this is the first time I've set foot here after 5 years in the place upstairs.
Would you like a ride on that rocking horse, Dan?
Horses make me sneeze, dear.
This looks genuine 16th century. A wardrobe big enough to take a bearskin. And the table is meant to be from the same period, but I don't know.
Late 19th, actually. They had it faked.
Naughty of them. Beautifully done, mind you. Now, this is a nice 17th century card table, half restored.
Oh, they said it was 18th. I was trying to restore it when they went.
I like those plates on the wall. Don't tell me that they're fixtures, Susan. Are they?
The 19th spode, Chinese motif, Dan.
Don't tell me they used them to decorate a rather unattractive wall.
Not entirely. You don't know about the strong room, do you, Mr. Cope? I'd almost forgotten it myself.
Strong room? I have nothing on the inventory or the plan about a strong room, Miss Threadgold.
I guess they'd have a big safe to stash away the bitter baubles.
Not a safe, a room. It was a dead secret. They told me that only they and myself knew about it. They had the combination lock code in their heads, nowhere else. And I don't know it. Well, so how are we going to open it up?
Well, where is it first?
I'll take off this plate. So, will you take it down, please?
Got it. Is that a flap or a crack in the wall?
A flap. The plate hanger lifts it up.
There's the combination lock.
What is behind it exactly?
A room built back into the ground, about 10 feet square and 9 feet high. It has shelves on each wall. But the door is narrow. You can't see where it fits in the wall. Ah. The light only comes on when it's open, and like the wall, it's 2'6" thick. Steel and concrete.
Well, I never. How do we find the open sesame, Mr. Cope?
Well, I'll try to find a retired Peter. If not, I'll have to get it cut, which will be a hell of a job.
The gentleman who opened it said he'd like to go before you came down. He didn't pull the door back, some superstition, but it does move. So, will you open up, Miss Threadgold?
Yes.
Look at that silver. Lovely, lovely. It's probably Paul de Laramie.
Well, let's go in. Good grief. There's some incredible stuff here.
There's a bit of a nasty poem, too, isn't there?
Oh, my God. What are those? Look, under the bottom shelves. Both sides.
Well, they look like life-size figures. Mummified, are they?
I recognize that ring, Dan. They are mummified. They were Robert and Gwen. And I feel rather sick.
My story finishes with the inquest. A pathologist said that Robert and Gwen died of cold and asphyxia. The strong room was all but hermetically sealed when shut. They might have lived as long as a week, but would have become unconscious after 3 or 4 days. He thought they must have rolled themselves under the shelves to find the last breathable air and some warmth. The policeman told how he'd gone into the room, and with the door shut on him, his shouts could hardly be heard in the basement even. The coroner ruled out an accident because the plate was put back. In light of the fact that the room was found to contain a good deal of stolen property, to the value of £500,000, the coroner suggested that a falling out of thieves had taken place, resulting in the door being slammed on the two dead persons. The verdict was death by misadventure, and the court's sympathy was extended to me.
Anna Conridge was Susan in Dead Treasure by Frederick Bradnam. Robert was Alexander John. Gwen, Avril Clark. Mona, Molly Weir. Dan, John Gray. Jackie, Andrea Keeley. Dr. Benson, Stephen Harold. Mrs. Benson, Karen Archer. Natasha, Audrey Leiborn. Miss French, Julie Berry. Mr. Cope, Paul Gregory. And the preacher, John Baddeley. Dead Treasure was directed by Graham Gould.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.